So good to see everyone here this morning. We are excited to be here. I'm excited to be here. We want to welcome any visitors that we might have. We certainly count you as our honored guest. And if you haven't been here before and this is your first time, we'd ask you to stick around and allow us to meet you after we're finished with our services today. Well, I've got some good news and some bad news this morning. Start with the bad news. I am not the regular preacher. So go ahead and put that out there. But the good news is that if you have like lunch reservations or lunch plans, you're going to make them. Our topic for this morning is connecting to your purpose. You know, we all have goals in our lives. Just 6 weeks ago, most of us made a New Year's resolution. A goal or a set of goal that was going to make us a better person, somehow improve our lives, or maybe even improve the lives of others. But did you know that 92% of you that made a resolution this year failed to keep it? I'm teaching the young adult class this quarter, and the first thing I did, our first day to meet this quarter, was to ask them about a New Year's resolution. So we wrote it up on the board. And they told me what their New Year's resolutions were. And then this morning, I had the opportunity to teach that class again. And I asked them what their if they had kept their New Year's resolutions. And, of course, for the purpose of my sermon, I was going to have like 10 kids. And the statistics I just cited, like one of them was going to keep that resolution. Like all but one kept the resolution. So they blew my curve, but I commended them because when we made the resolutions, we talked a little bit about what made a successful resolution. The purpose of that exercise was to find and help identify their own personal why behind their goal. Answering the question of why gives us an anchor. It provides a stickiness for goals so that they don't just fade when that idea becomes less exciting for us. We'll circle back around to that in just a little bit, but the idea behind today's lesson is to start out and think about another significant question. Not just our why, but our how. Let me step back for just a moment before we move forward. When we were in elementary school, we learned that there were six basic questions that we involved ourselves with when we were information gathering and we were problem solving. Those were who, what, when, where, why, and then there was an age, right? A how. Yeah, some of you remember that. The last two, why and how, are always the most difficult to answer because they're often opinion-based. They're also the two that speakers, teachers, and instructors have to master to really provide beneficial help to the listeners and their audience. To solve any question, though, to solve any problem, we must have a question, right? As one body of people here, sitting in one specific location, discussing a primary topic, or choosing a primary topic, we can paint with a broad brush this morning. I've opened my whiteboard here, and I'll go ahead and write up our question for this morning. It is, I want to go to heaven. Seems like a wide enough topic to involve everyone in this room. If you guys can't see it, I apologize. And the room happens to be an auditorium built for the purpose of housing God's people on a meeting day, so I don't think I'm going too far out of the way to say it's relevant to everyone too. So now we can clean up the mess of some of those easier questions on our list. The first question, you guys remember them? Who? I want to go to heaven. Who wants to go to heaven? I Want to go to heaven? Me. Who's in heaven? Who? God. And Jesus? Who else do I want to go to heaven? My brethren. The whole world. If you'll get your Bibles out, we're going to be looking at a few scriptures here momentarily. First of which is in Matthew. If you'll turn over to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, we'll look at who. That reads, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So that tells us a little bit about who. What? That's our next question. I want to go to heaven. What? Well, salvation. I want. What do I want? I want salvation. I want an obedient relationship with the Lord. I want a home in heaven one day. What? We're going to look into Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. "Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." When? I want to go to heaven. When? Now. For eternity. When? John 3:15. "That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Where? I want to go to heaven. Well, that's an easy one, right? Where? Heaven. But here, now, here, together, in heaven. Where? See? We've got the four easy ones taken care of. Four of our W's answered and completed. We can move on to the real meat of the lesson. We're left with two. Why and how? A few minutes ago, I mentioned that for today, why is not as important as how. But it seems kind of mean to skip it since we've already done, you know, four of the first six, and we're going to talk mainly about the sixth one, so we don't want to leave why out. Remember, our universal goal as outlined is, I want to go to heaven. Why do you want to go to heaven? Okay, that's pretty big, right? Let's start with a warm-up problem. Let's say that you, plural, all of us, have a teenage daughter. And she says, I want to go to heaven right now. We're going to say, I want to have a cell phone. Okay? As a parent, and as we work through this exercise, it's my job to ask, well, then why do you want a cell phone? And if the answer is, I don't know, then we have a problem. But the answer could be, so I can call and text with my friends. Well, this is an answer, but naturally, as a father, I'm curious about the nature of this type of communication. So for the second time, number two, I ask, why do you want to call and text your friends? Now, the answer that I'm looking for should give me some indication about that motivation. So it could be something like to check up on a class assignment or to plan a Bible study and coordinate roles and to communicate with you and mom when that Bible study is over. I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt, right? But that gives you an indication of how this exercise works. Define your goal and then ask why three times. And here's the catch. Each answer has to be different all three times. So we can return to our big question of the day. Why do you want to go to heaven? I'm going to let you ask and answer your own why three times. But you should come and finish in one of three places. Number one. The first one is going to be our best and optimal conclusion for our question, why do I want to go to heaven? I pray that we all want to have lived the life that is pleasing to God. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians. If you'll open up to chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Colossians 3, 1 through 2. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not earthly things. Have you ever tried to do two things at one time? I do it all the time, and all the time I fail at both. A mindset on things above with Christ in heaven cannot also think about the things that are concerned with our well-being apart from God. The second option is still focused on heaven as an end goal, but the reasoning is a little bit different. You may end at some variation of, what can God do for me? Which uses the pronoun I a lot. So if you ask yourself why three times and you end up with a lot of answers that start with I want a home with no pain and sorrow. I don't want to go to hell. This sounds a lot like the Pharisees who kept the letter of the law, but fail in the spirit. And it may be that you give the saddest answer of all to your three why questions. Why do you want to go to heaven? That is to not have an answer at all. I use the word stickiness in describing a good answer to the question of why. That's because we have something that binds our ideas with our values now. But even having a connection to our reason, we only have the first part of our connection to the purpose. We'll call the first part of our connection our aspirational or our outcome goal. That's an outcome goal. Going to heaven is a desired outcome goal, and it gives us some place to look for direction. But it may not be the actual direction for how we get there. Remember, 92% of people who have New Year's resolutions fail. And in the most generic terms, resolutions are outcome goals. But we have our why. We have our connection. Now, let's look at how and our direction. Before we dig into this discussion, I want you to think about the last goal that you had, where you were, had found some success in attaining your desired outcome goal. For the next few minutes, while we talk about our direction, I need you to make a personal connection to success. It could be that you recently planned a wedding, or you've gotten a good grade on a test, or you've run a race with the outcome goal that you had in mind, or that you completed a personal Bible study. It could be anything, but you had a goal and you found success. So I hope that you all have something in mind, because the first step in our roadmap to know that the goal that we set for our group today, I want to go to heaven, I want us to understand that that's attainable, just like whatever the last goal that you succeeded in was attainable. As we have time this morning, we're going to talk about distinct ways to gain some direction. If you've been thinking about how the last successful goal that you have achieved, as I challenged you to do, I hope that you've not only visualized how it felt to be successful, but how the number of steps or what steps you took to get there. If you planned a wedding, likely you consulted with other people who successfully planned weddings. Perhaps you looked through a website or a magazine to find ideas, and then you took the steps that were outlined for how you'd go about making those ideas come to life and look like the kind of desired outcome that you want. If you were in a successful race, I'm sure you undertook some kind of exercise or running plan that gave you confidence in how you were going to perform before the actual race. Then when the day of the race came, you were prepared to perform without a doubt that comes with uncertainty. What I've outlined in these examples are processes for success with your big outcome goal. So for our very first step in answering the question of how to create is to create a process goal. You can take any process as simple, or excuse me, you can make any process as simple or as complex as you want. But for today, we're going to keep it simple. With our big outcome goal of, I want to go to heaven, we want to lay out 2 to 3 process goals for how we can make ourselves successful. Now the first one is hopefully the one that's the most obvious to everyone in the room today. It's actually going to be sort of our process goal like 1A. That is, we have a pattern that's been outlined in God's word that illustrates the requirements God expects of believers before we can be with Him in heaven. God's plan of salvation is we must hear the word, we must believe the word, we must repent of our sins, we must confess our faith in Jesus, we must be baptized, and lastly, we must be faithful unto death. So if there are those among us who have a desire to go to heaven, but have not followed God's process for attaining that goal, let me be clear that the rest of what I'm going to say doesn't matter until this plan for salvation is undertaken. But for those of us who have followed God's plan and worked to achieve the first 5 parts of the plan and are still working on the 6th of being faithful unto death, let's now focus on how we can give ourselves some tools to make sure that when our big day comes, that we too have assurance that we're prepared. Even as I'm standing before you to talk about this topic, that doesn't mean that I'm a great expert in this particular field. And it certainly doesn't mean that I'm an expert in you. So what I'm about to say, if what I'm about to say doesn't speak to your needs, I hope that you will still gain something out of this activity. My first process goal, if I want to go to heaven, is to read the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is our process. This verse tells us that we're provided with all the ammunition we need contained within the pages of God's Word. But the reading of God's Word to help instruct us may take some planning. So my process for that could be as simple as starting in Genesis and reading for a set time each day until I'm finished. There are many wonderful Bible devotions or plans that range from topical to time-based that can help you follow through. Having a guide gives us a regular, achievable marker. Perhaps you find that another person or a group of people holding you accountable is the best fit for allowing you to stay on this task. Joining us or starting a Bible study is a wonderful way to have a set time and a structure for you to achieve that goal. Number 2. Our second process goal, let's say that we should be attending services. Okay? That Bible classes and Bible studies organized by the church are something that we find as helping us be mindful for our duties and roles as Christians. For our second process goal, we want to make sure that we're attending as many events as possible. Turn with me to Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 to underscore the benefits of our attendance together. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. It reads, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." As much as we talk about preparation for going to heaven, this process goal, number 2, is almost 100% about preparation. Being present and on time is no more than being prepared and intentional. If we struggle with this goal, step back and take a look at the reasons we struggle. Our process could be Something as simple as saying, I'm going to be ready to leave the house in time to arrive at the building 15 minutes before services begin. We're putting a time definite goal on there. Or if you find that making it to services is difficult after a late night of attending maybe a big game or some other event, maybe we leave at halftime or we just watch the game from home to ensure that we can be well rested and prepared for the next day. Or perhaps your travel patterns means that your gas tank is always on empty that Saturday night. Even so, you're ready early and you're rested, but you were late because the gas station's card readers weren't working. Make a note to fill up on your way home on that Friday night before. Remember, we all have the same 24 hours in a day to achieve our goals. My third process goal is to be more like Jesus. I want to be better at reflecting his loves and his teachings to others. The verse that is sometimes referred to as the golden rule can be found in Matthew 7 and 12, and it reads, "Therefore, wherever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." If our why question leads us to the conclusion that we want to do God's will and end up in heaven, this third process goal should be one that is on our minds constantly. If you remember, it's to be more like Jesus. This could be something as simple as visiting those from our congregation who are in need of encouragement, those shut-ins who can't get out, or maybe sending a note to those members who have fallen away. One of my favorite examples of the process goal in action was something that was so simple, but it revealed everything about being successful. In the fall of 2016, Dak Prescott was in the middle of an improbable rookie season. If you remember, Dak wasn't supposed to be an NFL quarterback. All the analysts said he should switch positions if he wanted to make it as a pro in the NFL. He wasn't supposed to be a starter in the league. He was drafted in the fourth round to sit and learn behind one of the game's most proven talents in Tony Romo. He wasn't supposed to be playing after Romo was healed from an injury that put Dak in the starting role during his first season. But here he was, playing quarterback, starting, even though Tony Romo was perfectly healthy, and he was undefeated and in first place in his division. Dak was successful because of his own personal process. So when he came to the sidelines between offensive series and he sat on the bench and drank some water from a throwaway cup, finished that water, watered up the cup, and he tossed it towards the trash. Nobody thought much of it because it was so mundane and routine. But as accurate as Dak Prescott was that year, he missed the trash can. Without hesitation, he stood up, retrieved the discarded cup, which was really one of dozens that were on the ground and not in the trash, and he put it in the trash can. You aren't going to make the NFL by picking up discarded litter, but you aren't going to be Dak Prescott if you leave that litter on the ground. And that's the thing about the process. The process itself is very, very simple. But yet, 92% of people fail when they attempt to reach their aspirational outcome goals, like their New Year's resolutions. There's not one person here this morning who doesn't struggle to meet outcome goals. And I just want to pause and let that sink in, because I know sometimes we feel like we're the only ones that struggle. We're the only ones that set goals and don't achieve them. But that's not true at all. Every single person in this room knows exactly what I'm talking about when I say that. If you find yourself in the middle of a personal struggle with your faith, I hope today has been of some benefit. I hope that our generic outcome goal today of "I want to go to heaven" is not actually generic, but that it's very specific and that it's very personal to you. I hope that you will seek to be prepared to be successful, to remove the stumbling blocks that would burden you on the way to finding your final goal. I want to thank you for your attention and your patience this morning with me. We've talked briefly about the first steps or the first processes for your personal journey with the Lord, your salvation. I know that there are those among us today who have struggled with this decision. But if you've heard something today that helps you on your road to your journey and you wish to come forward, we have time and opportunity now. Likewise, if you find yourself listening to the sermon today only to find out that your outcome goals and your processes aren't in line with the Lord's, and you have a desire to come before the congregation and talk to us and confess your struggles, we're here to help you with that as well. Won't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation?